By the spring of 1969, we'd moved into a walk-up on 15th Street and were mostly done with the taking and renouncing of each other as lovers. Our group, back then, was sometimes five, often six, though never less than four. There were substitutes and swings, ex-roommates who came from California, theater aspirants pretending not to be alcoholics, lovers who joined for a night or a season. And we all provided our share of extras, but it was Brookie who cast the principals, finding the ones who'd really matter, then Pied Pipering them back to the apartment. This is how we acquired Paulie one Memorial Day as he was being arrested on Reese Beach for exposing his navel. He began singing "Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat," while the cop issued him a ticket. He had a commanding and classically trained tenor, and we turned to see where it was coming from. We were surprised to find a delicate, curly-haired boy with elfin features that, we learned later, turned somewhat troll-like in distress. Midnight Confessions had been playing on someone's radio. They turned it off. Paulie sang even more spiritedly then, and a couple of castrati joined in, and the people all said, "Beware, beware." In that moment, Paulie seemed to all of us a leading man, though he would turn out to stay a chorus boy forever. Later, we took him out to a restaurant on a patio overlooking the water. "Oh, don't flatter yourself," said Stephen, who was in his usual spirits. Not that it mattered much, at first. Stephen had the sort of face you didn't want to give up on. "Everyone gets arrested on that beach. He's been arrested on that beach." He was pointing at Brookie, who was sprawled over the railing, trying to feed a French fry to a seagull that would neither take it nor go away. "Was that what you were arrested for?" said Paulie.
"It was something sort of like this," said Brookie. "The thing wasn't a French fry, but the gentleman was a seagull."
We laughed, especially Paulie. "And is that where the long arm of the law caught you?" Paulie pointed to the scar on Brookie's arm. This was a raised fascicle of flesh, somewhat smaller than a hand. "You poor dear." He trilled his fingers on Brookie's deltoid, waiting for someone to tell him the tale. Brookie had gotten the scar a few years back while protesting all-white hiring at a White Castle. This was a very good story, which was maybe why Brookie did not tell it. Perhaps he'd vowed not to spend this currency on another white boy's regard. Or maybe he was expecting one of us to tell it for him, compounding his valor with discretion. For whatever reason, valorous or otherwise, we did not. "It wasn't about you," Stephen said abruptly, and we all looked at him. His moods would reorganize, but never fundamentally alter, according to circumstance. He was like a compass, spinning around and around to always point in the same direction. "It's because it's a holiday weekend. They did the same thing before the World's Fair. They did the same thing before the Chicago World's Fair when they hauled out all the horse manure."
Stephen is incredibly interested in horse manure, you'll find.
"Furthermore," Stephen's hair was falling in his face. It was feathery and light, and we told him it made him look like John Lennon. Or, when we were in a certain mood, Farrah Fawcett. "If the police were really trying to arrest every stereotype on that beach—"
"Stereotype?" Paulie cried. "Who's a stereotype?"
He cast a wrist over his forehead and pretended to fan himself. There was something aristocratic about Paulie, in spite, or maybe because of, his imperfect teeth and waxy skin. Perhaps they subtly suggested Britishness, hemophilia. His eyes, one had to admit, were very blue.
Then they wouldn't do anything else and we'd see complete societal breakdown. A stereotype!
Pauly's performance had veered deep south with notes of Scarlett O'Hara.
A stereotype? What an accusation!
I'm going to need the vapors myself if this keeps up.
A stereotype, my word!
Pauly paused a few beats longer than any director would have allowed.
Darlings, I'm the prototype.
The food arrived with excellent timing, and Pauly clasped his hands together in supplication. He then declared in an impeccable Vivian Leigh that, as God was his witness, he would never go hungry again.